So how many of you believe Jesus is coming soon? Turn to the person next to you and say, I believe that. Go ahead, do it. I was talking to one of my neighbors about some of the problems of the neighborhood where we live over in Waianae. And she said, what is happening to Hawaii and our civilization? She said, I was born and raised in Maile. She said, we didn't have any homeless problem back then. She said, we didn't have alcohol problems. We didn't have a drug problem. And the children were well-behaved. There was no one ripping off other people. But now, she said, we've got all that. And it isn't just here. It's all over. Have you noticed that? You have, haven't you? Things are not getting better, as evolutionists say. They're getting worse. And they're going to continue getting worse as we get closer and closer to the end. Now, just how close are we to Jesus' second coming? Well, I'm not going to tell you when he's coming, the day, the hour, the year. Now, I'm not going to tell you that today, but I know someone who knows exactly when this is going to happen. And I'm going to tell you what he says about it. So, our scripture reading says that the hour has come for us to wake up out of our slumber, because our salvation is what? Nearer. It's nearer now than when we first believed. The United States of America. The Bible declares, in the book of Revelation, that the United States is going to be the superpower at the end of time that's going to help bring about the mark of the beast worldwide. But you know something? If the end isn't soon, America won't be around to do that. America is in trouble. There's, let me tell you a little bit about America. Let me tell you about some of the signs that we are very close to Jesus' return. Do you know about violence in America on the increase? You know about that, don't you? That students are killing teachers? They don't do that here in Hawaii, do they? No. But on the mainland, watch out. Crazy men are killing little children. Little children are forming gangs and doing acts of terrible destruction. Consider the nickel mines incident in Pennsylvania not long ago near Kinzer. A milkman, of all people, a milkman drove to a quiet one-room school, an Amish country school, surrounded by cornfields. And he brought guns and 600 rounds of ammunition. Do you remember reading about this? He boarded up the school. He dismissed the teacher. He dismissed the boys. And he took all the girls and he shot them. Every one. And why? Because he said he had a 20-year grudge against someone and he had to get even, and this is the way he chose to do it. And before the day was over, the parents of the girls that were shot were knocking on the door of the home of the wife of the man who did it and said, we want you to know, we forgive your husband, and we're not holding any grudges against you or your family. You are forgiven. Now, that is a Christian spirit. But you need to know that in the last days, the Bible says, people are not going to forgive, and they're going to be very angry. Have you noticed the anger level going up? Have you noticed that? Drive-by shootings, people just getting mad, just whew, so fast, and acts of violence all around us. Well, what was Jesus' attitude? What did he say to those who were crucifying him? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I hate to tell you this, but the anger level in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is going up just like it is in the community. I hate to tell you that, but it's happening. It is happening. What do we do about it? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, get rid of bitterness, get rid of rage, get rid of anger, brawling, slander. This is written to church members and says, with every form of malice. And it says, what are we supposed to do instead? Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Okay, that's the goal, folks. If you're out of the church, you're out of control. If you're in the church, you need to listen to the words of Jesus and put these things on. But at the end of time, America is going to be angry. And the American culture is going to be angry and looking for a way to carry out its anger. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 talks about this beast coming up out of the earth, not out of the seas where all the people were, but out of the dry, barren wilderness. It has two horns like a lamb, and it speaks like a what? Dragon. Out of control, angry. Last day nation, angry and in trouble. What do you mean, United States in trouble? Well, the United States is in financial trouble. Do you know that? Amen. Let me just tell you a little bit of how much trouble we're in. If you take the national debt for last year, not this year, for last year, and you put that national debt into dollar bills, that stack of dollar bills will go from planet Earth to the moon and all the way back down. That's a lot. That's a lot of debt. And $8.5 trillion. And so you say, well, so what? What that means is every single citizen, including your children, have a part of that debt. And each of us owes about $28,000 each. Now, that's not your credit card debt. That's your debt that the government of the United States is going to put on you. And it's getting bigger. How much bigger? Our national debt is increasing $1.5 billion each day. Each day. How much is that? I don't know. I can't think in those terms. And the Bible says in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, says in the last days there's going to be terrible times. It says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, no self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of what more than God? Pleasure. 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 My wife yesterday said, hey, did you just see that bumper sticker? I said, no. What did it say? And she said, it was written in Hawaiian and in English. I forgot what it was. I think she said, I do what pleases me. Isn't that how it goes? Something like that? And it was written in Hawaii, too. You know, I've heard that expression before. Have you heard that expression before? Yeah, you can find the book of Genesis. It describes people before Noah's flood came and wiped out the world. People doing what they want to do. Every man is a law unto themselves. Watch out. We're back. And what's happening with the American family? The American family. Well, the norm is the children are being raised by television and school and preschool, not the parents. And by the way, a mother and father, the original mother and father in the home today with the kids? No more. No more. Mm-mm. Usually it's one parent, and maybe that parent's been married two times, three times, or has never been married. Let's talk about illegitimate children. Okay, one out of every children you see in America nationwide was born illegitimately. In the inner city, three out of four are born out of wedlock. Three out of four. Nowadays, the norm is that the parents do not get married. You know that, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Very, very common today. But 20 years ago, and 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you would not even hear of such a thing. Things have changed. Things have changed. Our world, our nation is winding down. And if Jesus doesn't come, there won't be an America to enforce the mark of the beast. The Bible says, it talks about in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, that God is going to come back and destroy those who are destroying the world. Destroying the world. All right, have you noticed what's happening in the world today with nature? I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And back in the 50s and beyond, we had butterflies. Today, you go to the Bay Area, how many butterflies do you see? None. We had frogs. We had streams full of frogs and fish. You go there today in the Bay Area, guess what? You look in the streams, nothing. No life, no frogs, no fish. It's empty and it's polluted. And if you can find a bird, it will most likely be missing a leg, several toes, or it'll be dead on the ground. That's true. Matter of fact, two-thirds, how many did I say? Two-thirds of all bird species are on the decline. Two-thirds. Bird watching is one of the most favorite hobbies of Americans. One out of every 10 birds is near extinction. Not counting all the ones that already went extinct. And destructive insects are surviving on the strongest poisons we can give them. Matter of fact, they're becoming immune to the poisons we spray on them. And weeds. Do I need to tell you about weeds? How many of you have ever used a product called Roundup? See your hands? Have you noticed? Roundup is a weed killer, by the way. Roundup is not rounding up all the weeds anymore. You noticed that? Weeds are becoming immune to Roundup. And AIDS. I was the area president over the 15th Seventh Day Adventist churches in San Francisco, and every church, every year, was burying church members who died from AIDS. How bad is AIDS? All right, since 1981, over 25 million people have died of AIDS. 25 million. In Africa alone, there are 12 million children who are AIDS orphans. If Jesus doesn't come soon, there won't be any life left on our planet to redeem. He has to come soon. Some church members are getting desperate. Leaders of other denominations. And how many of you have ever heard of the Shroud of Turin? And that image that some people say is the image of Jesus that somehow miraculously put on this cloth that covered him before he died. Well, supposedly they have found DNA fibers on the Shroud of Turin. And church leaders are saying, okay, we know the answer to the world's needs. We're going to take those DNN fibers from the Shroud of Turin, and we're going to clone Jesus Christ. Now, this is true. It was in the newspaper in the mainland. That's true. Is that the answer? Will that work? I don't think so. But we do need to reproduce Jesus in ourselves, yes, and reproduce the love of Jesus in our life. Genesis 6, verse 5 says, just before Noah came and the flood took all the men on earth except for eight, it says, the inclinations and the thoughts of the hearts of people was evil all the time. No exception. Everything they thought, everything they did was evil. Are we destroying the world? Well, do I need to tell you about toxic waste? Do I need to tell you about radioactivity in the dumps? Do I need to tell you about garbage? Let me just tell you a little bit about garbage. I don't know if you knew this, but if you were to take a boat and you sail toward the North Pacific, you'll come to a sluggish, quiet place in the ocean where the currents, the wind are very slow. And here you find a huge island made up of garbage. We're talking styrofoam cups. We're talking plastic caps. We're talking plastic laundry baskets. We're talking rubber sandals and tons of garbage. It's called by the Hawaiians the Eastern Garbage Patch. Now, how big is this garbage patch? It is twice the size of Texas. And it's growing bigger every day. Twice the size of Texas. We have a problem. And we have a problem with our climate. You're aware about climate change? Tsunamis, earthquakes. Have you ever noticed the chart of how many earthquakes, since they've been recording earthquakes, how many we've been getting on the increase? It's dramatic, dramatic. Things are happening. And do I need to tell you about terrorism? You know about terrorism, don't you? Kind of an East versus West type of terrorism. And today, as you are in the checkout stand trying to get your groceries, have you ever noticed the magazine covers and what they say? Some of them are really, you know, pretty far off the wall. But they talk about end times. They talk about the Antichrist. They talk about biblical things. Secular magazines. On television. If you ever get the History Channel is having presentations that talk about the end of time. The Bible says that if God's people don't speak out at the end of time, the very rocks will cry out the truth. And even our secular society is saying, we're living in the last days. There are some ladies in Washington, D.C., that were on a bus. And also on the bus was one of our church members. And they're listening to the two ladies in the back talk about end times. And this was during the time when it looked as if Washington, D.C. might be attacked with biological weapons or even atomic weapons. And the two ladies behind our church member were saying, you know, we are living in one of the major targets in the world. Anything could trigger the complete destruction of Washington, D.C. And the one said, maybe we ought to just leave, go someplace in the country. The other one said, actually, I don't think we have to do that just yet, because there's a people called Seventh-day Adventists that study Bible prophecy. And when they leave Washington, D.C., that's when I'm leaving. And the church member was listening to all this and didn't say a thing. But the world is watching. The world is watching. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of speculation during my sermon today. I happen to believe that our world, when 6,000 years have passed, and we begin the seventh millennium of time, that the last millennium will come. And that's when the world is laid waste and nothing happens. There's no life at all during the seventh millennium. I do believe that. Ellen White, for example, in Great Controversy, page 656. And I quote, and she has said this about 42 times. So if you think she just casually mentions it once, no. She says it over and over again. Here's what she says. For 6,000 years, the Great Controversy has been in progress. Now all have made their decisions. The time has come for God to vindicate his law. It sounds as if she's saying that when the world is 6,000 years old, probation is going to close. That's how it sounds. Six periods of time, each 1,000 years old. All right. So, who knows the exact year, the day, and the hour when Jesus is going to come? I'm going to give you that information right now. You can write it down. I'll take the blame, but I'm going to give you exactly that information right now. Is it Jesus? No. Okay, how about the angel is closest to God the Father? How about Pastor Bushnell? Okay, yes, yes, no. The Bible says, Matthew 25, verse 36, only the Father knows. That's it. But we can discern the signs and know it's drawing nearer. I have a question for you. Does the devil know and does the devil believe Jesus is coming soon? He does. He sure does. Does the devil study Bible prophecy? He knows it better than anyone in this room. And the Bible says that he knows his time is short and he is at work to deceive, to delude, to occupy, and to keep church members entertained and distracted until the day comes. That's his job. And then when that big door of probation closes, the devil is going to say, well, I took a lot with me. Music today, pop, modern pop music, is affecting our young people's morality. I was shocked when I heard some of the music young people listen to today. Profanity all the way through it, talking about suicide, talking about mass murders. Is it any wonder kids are violent? Okay, time is short, not just for the earth, but my time is short here too. I'm going to give you something a little speculative here. And I'll tell you right up front, it is speculative. Our general conference is investigating this theory right now. They have not yet decided if they're going to officially endorse it or not. There's a whole book, not put out by our church, but by one of our church members, called The Eight Kings of the Papacy. You can order it online. This is where I'm getting some of this information. But it sounds as if it's true. That's all I can tell you. You have to do your own study and determine whether or not this is authentic or if it's a perversion of Scripture. But I think it's worth you knowing about. Take your Bibles and go to the book of, take a guess, Yes, Revelation. How did you know? Okay, Revelation chapter 17. And Revelation 17, verse 9, it begins with these words. This calls for a mind with wisdom. It's the version I'm looking at here. Okay, get your thinking caps on, get some wisdom going on here. And it goes on, verse 10 and 11. By the way, the entire chapter 17 is talking about the beast power, which Seventh-day Adventists say is who? Vatican, Roman Catholic Church, okay? And it's talking about, in the same chapter, the deadly wound of the beast being healed, which Seventh-day Adventists say happened in? When it was healed? 1929. In 1798, the papacy lost its lands, lost its power, lost a lot of political influence. All that was given back to them in 1929. And today, all the world, and I mean all the world, even non-Christian nations, highly regard the Roman Catholic Church and believe the Pope is like a god. The Pope goes to India, they bow down and worship. He goes to China, same reaction. Muslim countries, they all acknowledge the Pope as a supreme Christian spiritual leader and, if nothing else, like God on earth. And that has happened since 1929. Okay, that's the context. So getting back to 17, verses 10, 11, it says that in the beast power, after the deadly wound was healed, it talks about there will be seven kings. Okay? And it talks about an eighth king just before the end of time. I get that right from verses 10 and 11. All right, question for you. I'm going to test your knowledge of the papacy right now. How many popes have we had since 1929?
Six.
Seven. If you want the names afterwards, I'll give you the names, but I don't think you're particularly interested in names. Anyway, I'm getting distracted here. We're in the seventh pope right now. My wife and I were in Rome several times. We were visiting one of the famous cathedrals, Roman Catholic cathedrals, called St. Paul's. And there in St. Paul's, all the way around the great, huge, mighty cathedral, they have the portraits of all the previous popes. And they only had, when we were there, they still had a couple of spaces left for future popes. And I asked one of the church fathers, I said, what happens when you run out of places for portraits? He said, Jesus will come. Interesting. Interesting. And the pope we currently have, Pope Benedict XVI, said, I will not be here very long. So how close are we to Jesus' second coming? Well, according to this theory, you are one pope away from the second coming of Jesus. One pope. And how soon could he pass? And number eight come? Anytime. We need to study the Bible and rightly divide the word of truth. Why are we still here? That's a good question. Why are we still here? You know, most of us here in this room, all of us here in this room should never have been born. Hope you heard that. Jesus should have come long before this. Our church actually taught and still teaches that Jesus could have come in 1888. We had the Sunday laws. We had the Seventh-day Adventist Church being persecuted. We had Seventh-day Adventists going to jail for Sunday desecration. We were, I think, one vote as a nation for a national Sunday law, and on and on and on. Everything was lined up, but our church wasn't ready. Our church was not ready. Why are we still here? I'm going to quote from Ellen G. White, the book Evangelism, page 696, where she tells why Jesus hasn't come. You may not like to hear this, but here it is. Evangelism 696. She says, it is the unbelief, the worldliness, the non-consecration, the strife among God's professing people that have kept us in the world of sin and sorrow for so many years. Wow. Did you get that? We need the Holy Spirit. Back to our original scripture reading. We're going to wrap up. And now, knowing the time, that it is high time that we wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The text says, let's cast off the works of darkness, church. Amen. Let's cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of what? The armor of light. That's what the text says. How many of you here today like to raise your hand and say, I want to be putting off works of darkness. I want the Holy Spirit to tell me what works of darkness I'm doing. I want to have His help to put them off, and I want to be putting on the armor of light that's promised to believers so I can be ready for when Jesus comes. Would you like to raise your hands if that's your decision today? And we have a closing song for you. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Number 213. 213.
Loving Heavenly Father.